Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
It's your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Tonight, I'm real amped up because we're going to be adding somebody to the archive. Been wanting to do this for a while, but as you know, we're trying to cover as much hip-hop as possible. So, you know, sometimes, things get lost in the shuffle, but I'm glad it's going down. We got OG Tech on the line right now. OG Tech, man, how are you doing, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on with you, bro?
And I tell you what, man, I'm glad we're both here on the line, man. It's been a crazy year. How's 2020 been to you, and how have you been coping with it, man?
It's been crazy, man, for a couple reasons, man. You know, COVID hit first, you know, and in December, man, I had like a real bad surgery. What kind of set me down, like, at the end of 2019, end of 2020, and then I got out the hospital just in time, man, and right when I was getting out the hospital and I was going through my recovery stage, man, COVID had hit pretty bad, so, it slowed down a lot of things, man, but, you know, I guess the best thing that we can get out of this, man, was, you know, family time and, you know, just building bonds with the family and really getting a lot of other businesses off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, man, definitely, man. But I hate to hear that you was in the hospital. Man, are you okay? You doing good now?
Yeah, man. Back in 2019, April, man, I had like a real health scare. If I wouldn't have went to the hospital, like, I would have waited like another like 3-4 days, bro. Like, we wouldn't be having this interview. You know, I had went to a hospital 3 times with this issue, man, and they wasn't. They kept saying they couldn't find nothing. So finally we went to go get a second opinion at another hospital, and they admitted me instantly, you know. And, I had to have a major surgery then, and I was down for like 8 months, you know. And then I had to go back to have another surgery in December. And, you know, just pretty much just blessed, man, that I had the angels around me to help me pull through. And, you know, the family with support and, you know, the good people that my loyal friends that was checking on me daily, man, because I really needed them prayers, man. OG Tech was really down in a bad way, man.
Man, I'm so happy to be talking to you right now because, you know, 2020 is fucked as it is, but you had problems in 2019. So you entered 2020 in a fucked up situation. And then to come out of that and find out there's a pandemic and everything's going crazy with that, I mean, man, salute to you for doing what you're doing, man. I'm glad you're here, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Real talk.
Yeah, man, because didn't you get shot like a couple years ago as well?
Yeah, man. it was probably about, but I swear I'm a walking testimony, brother. It was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I had just picked up this whip, and you know, it came with the 20. I think it had 20-inch or 22-inch rims on it, man. And I pulled off in a neighborhood, man, that you know I quite frequent. You know, I used to stay out there and shit. And so when I pulled off, stopped working. I was like, damn, man, what's going on with my speaker? So I went to the back of it. You know, I go and fuck with the speaker and stuff, man. And it came back on. I was like, okay, let me make sure that the bass hitting right. So time I jump in the whip, man, the passenger door came open. And all I saw was a gun come in. So I was like, man, what the fuck? And the dude was like, yeah. So I tried to push the gun back, you know. And me and this dude, we tussling. So while we tussling, man, I'm trying, excuse me. I'm trying to push the gun back. Dude was a little bigger, so I'm trying to push him back and push the hand of the gun back, man. And then the hand that had the gun slipped out of my hand. And when it slipped out of my hand, man, it landed on my side. And he squeezed. And when he squeezed, man, I fell back in the seat. And he took off. And I was just sitting there for a minute, man. My ears was ringing. And, you know, I had to gather my thoughts because I'm like, shit, I done got hit. You know, so I'm thinking like, man, I look to the right, I see him taking off, and now I'm sitting there. I ain't got no peace on me, so I'm like, shit, I don't know if dude going to come back. I'm like, if I dial 911, ain't no telling how long that shit going to take. So I took off. I hit the gas on it. So I'm doing like 90 on this road, bro, and look, this is the crazy thing. The road that I was doing 90 on, I done got a ticket on for going 5 miles over the speed limit, right? It's a 35-mile-per-hour road. I got a ticket for going 40. That night, I was going 90. I was balling. Nobody in sight. No cops, no ambulance. No. It was nobody. So probably about 5 minutes before I got to the hospital, man, I started blinking out. You know, I started seeing, like, little stars and shit. And when I got to the hospital, I came around the way it is. It's like you kind of turn right, then you go down a hill, and then it's like a little circle thing, and then valet parking was there, and this guy came up, was like, hey, man, you here to go to the emergency room? I said, yeah, man, I've been shot. And I'm in the car trying to grab all my personal belongings, like my phone, my iPad, and all that shit, man. And then next thing you know, bro, I blanked out. And when I blanked out, man, I was in a room. Yeah, I was laying in the room, bro. I had all these, like doctors and police all around me and shit, man. And I was going off on everybody in there. And the doctor was like, man, calm down. And they had to put me to sleep, man. They hit me with morphine twice to get me to shut up because I was discombobulated, you know what I'm saying, when I woke up. And they, you know, when I woke up again off the morphine, I was in my room, man. Like, damn, what the? You know, I never thought nobody would be trying to hit me because, you know, I've been so good to people, man, like, you know, I never had issues. I've always been the guy to try to help everybody. For me to get hit like that, man, it just blew my fucking mind, man. So everybody became suspects in the city. You know what I'm saying? So I cut the whole city off. Because one, I ain't know who it was. I ain't know where it came from. So, you know, everybody was suspect. To this day, I really don't know who it was. You know, you hear little shit, but you can't go off of what you hear. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to somebody put a real name on it, then, you know, it's just one of them things that I got to sit back and just wait for, you know. So it is what it is.
Man, I, you know, I mean, I commend you because a lot of people, they go into shock or they wouldn't, you know, think on what to do. You had enough sense to think, you know what, I'm not waiting on nobody. I'm getting the fuck to the hospital on my own. And you saved your own life.
Right. Because if I would have waited, man, I don't know who that was. What if they would have came back? You know what I'm saying? And I'm just sitting there. You know, that then they want to finish me off or something. I don't know what the hit was for. You know, they could have been trying to take my car. Could have been somebody jealous that was just trying to knock me off. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't never had no issues with nobody around here, man. You can ask anybody around here. I done been in almost every neighborhood around here, man, and everybody show love. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy, man. But, you know, you never know. You know, when you're doing good and people see it, man, that shit could bring jealousy and envy, you know. But if it was the car that you wanted, man, you could have just came and asked me how I got it. You know what I'm saying? And then we could have talked about it. Or if it's money that you needed, man, you could have asked, man, hey, man, can I just get, you know, could I borrow 100? Hell, shit, man, you can have this 100. You know, but just to come and try to knock me off or something like that, materialistic, or take my, man, I got kids. I got a family, bro. You know what I'm saying? You can't be sitting out here playing like that. So, you know, I just move different now.
Yeah, yeah, you got to, man. It's unfortunate. But you're right, man. You know, people don't realize who they're jacking. You know,
right.
You know, the man, like you said, he could be a father. That'd be somebody's son. But also, he could be somebody that might say, you know what, I'll dedicate some time to help you, young man, get you in the right direction.
Right.
You know?
And that's the type of shit I do, bro. Like,
yeah.
Anybody will tell you. You know what I'm saying? I give you the shirt on my back. It's always been like, had an open hand for anybody. Open arms for anybody, man. It's just like, hey, look, you know, if I could do it, then I'll help. But if not, man, I can get somebody that can help. But yeah, that was some wild shit, man.
Man, yeah, for you to be able to, you know, be here and not only survive that and go through that, but then come out and blazing with music, you know. It shows, you know what I'm saying, you're really a true artist, and you got some new music out, you know what I'm saying. But before we get to that, I want to go way back.
Okay.
I first heard you on Homicidal Lifestyle by Gangster Pat, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. Matter of fact, I was always wondering what happened, you know what I'm saying, because I was like, why didn't Pat and Dude do a group album, you know? But where are you from originally, and, you know, how did you get into rap?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy because a lot of people thought that I was from Memphis. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Especially when that album had that album dropped, man. So to tell the real backdrop of that album was something that was thrown together by Power Records. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you hear songs like Deadly Verses on it, I Wanna Smoke on it, and a couple other recycled songs that's on there. So I had probably like a year prior, man, I was doing a concert. And it was this guy at the concert, man. He had hit me up, man. He was like, look, man, I like your flow. You know, I really want to work with you. I was like, cool. You know, I ain't really think too much of it until he started calling. He's like, man, I want to take you to a real studio and show you some shit. So we started going to the big studio, man, and recording. I mean, pulling late nights, man. And he was hard on me. Like, if I fuck up in a verse, you got to record that whole verse over. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no punch-ins or nothing. And thinking about it at that time, man, it was getting on my fucking nerve. But, you know, thinking about it now was like, I'm glad that he did that because it helped me where I'm at now because he was just basically telling me strive for perfection. You know what I'm saying? So what we did was we record Creep with a Nigga and Lay Me Down to Sleep. And a lot of people don't know we put that out on as a single before we even pitched it out to Power Records back then. So it's people that got that song on a cassette tape, you know, when we put it out. And if they got it, man, they sitting on a gold mine right now. You know, I've been trying to find people that got it so I could buy it off of them. But we picked it down.
I didn't have that. I had the Gangsta Pat tape, I Wanna Smoke.
Right.
It looked like a top pack of Top Rolling Papers. I had that back in the day, though. I didn't even know about this one.
Yeah, I put out Creep with a Nigga. And I put out Lay Me Down to Sleep as a single before we pitched it. You know what I'm saying? And when I ran across Gangsta Pat, I was like, man, I fell in love with his flow. You know, Deadly Verses, man, was just like the hardest song that I had heard at that time. And I was like, man, I really want to work with this cat. So I had told my manager, man, and he was like, man, let's just try to send a song down to Power Records. Like, cool. So we pitched it down there, man, and probably like a week later, we got a call back, and the dude said, this is Leroy McMath. We got your songs, man. We got Gangsta Pat album about to come out. We want to put your two songs on the album. So shit, we was excited. Like, hell yeah, let's do it. And the
you
rest of that, man,
that
is history. Nah.
Wow, that's amazing right there. I always wondered what that connection was. You know, I didn't know that. It was something that you submitted. Those songs are fucking fire, man. If anybody hasn't heard that, I mean, that album right now probably costs about $100 or more if you want to buy it.
Yeah,
very rare. But if you haven't heard that, man, I suggest you go check that out. Homicidal Lifestyle, Gangster Pat. That album, right there, you know what I'm saying, that came after, you know, Deadly Verses, of course. Man, what were your thoughts when you first heard that? That was Gangster Pat and the Villain.
Oh. Like, man, who is these cats right here? Because they bringing nothing but that heat. You know what I'm saying? And not only are they bringing that heat, man, I got to step my shit up. You know what I'm saying? I got to step my flow up. You know, and I'm blessed now, man, because me and Pat got a great relationship. You know what I'm saying? I've talked to the Villain a couple times. We have talked about doing music together, me and the Villain. But we never got around to it. And me and Pat was supposed to do the Creep with a Nigga remix. And I think it's still on the table. So hopefully we can make that happen, you know, and actually put it out, because even he'll tell you, he's like, bro, I mean, like, nigga, that was my album. He said, but all through Memphis, they weren't even playing my songs. They was playing Creep with a Nigga. Every time you turn, someone else playing Creep with a Nigga. Creep with a Nigga. Everywhere I turn. So I never knew the song had got that big, you know, until I started, like, some years later, and I started going to YouTube, and I started looking at the views and how everybody thought I was a little teased, or it was Gangsta Pat on the song and all this other stuff, man. You know, it was just crazy to see that, man. You know, that I did some, and I'm part of the, I'm part of history with that song. That song is pretty big, man, and it feel good. So, you know, I want to give a big salute to Power Records for that, you know, but outside of that, man, you know, we had a lot of bad business, you know, going through that process also, but, you know,
that was
outcome,
Power Ad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for those listening too, that was the first label that Spice One came out on solo.
Yep.
Yeah, that album Let
MC
Them Know.
MC Breed.
EP MC Breed. Yep. So that's basically Ichiban then, pretty much.
Or affiliated. I don't know. I want to say they was affiliated. Yeah.
Ichiban was more or less like the distribution of so many greats. When you were growing up, like, who were you listening to, you know what I'm saying, where you were from? Like, were there anybody that really stood out?
So, man, a lot of Georgia rappers, man, you know, they don't really like to talk about this, man, but my influence to do music was Eazy-E, you know. But around us at that time, man, it was a lot of damn bass music. You know what I'm saying? That was out. Like, and I was a big MC Shadi fan, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people. And I liked MC Shadi and Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. I thought they was dope for the culture. But N.W.A., you know, Public Enemy. But we also had a lot of bass music, man, like DJ Jam Pony, DJ Train, and stuff like that around us also. But another rapper that I used to listen to was Kilo G also.
Yeah, Kilo G, yeah. He had that song One Leg Up, I think.
yeah.
Remember all the records, man, because I used to, you know, as a kid, I'd go to Coconuts or all the record stores, and I'd be buying all those tapes, you know, like Luke Skywalker's Bass Waves compilation.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I found Two Live Crew and things like that, you know, and MC Shy-D. What about, like, cats, you know what I'm saying, like, that did the street stuff, like maybe the Hard Boys or Sammy
the
Sam?
The Hard Boys. Yeah. We had the Hard Boys, Ghetto Mafia, You know, and the thing that I hate about them guys, man, you know, everybody talking about this, and I ain't going to bear off to that. You know, everybody keep having this trap music. I did the trap music first shit, you know, coming out of Atlanta. You know,
yeah.
I look at it this way. You know, Hard Boys was the first people that did that shit and Ghetto Mafia. You know what I'm saying? T.I. just had the money behind them, and Jeezy had the money behind them. You know, they ain't have that money. But if you go back and listen to them goddamn albums, man, that's real trap music right there. So big salute to them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. We just had Nino on here a few weeks back. You know, but, you know, your style, we're going to let the people hear some music in a minute. Your style, you know, you're real good with the wordplay. You know what I'm saying? Like Chopper, whatever, you can do it all. You know what I'm saying? Who are some of your favorite rappers that rap fast?
Twista, Tech N9ne, rappers like C9, RIP. I gotta give props to T-Rock. Let me see who else, man. That Chicago rappers out there, man. A lot of those they hold style. Bone Thugs and Harmony, you know. I listen to a lot of the different people, and because everybody chopped different, you know. Chicago chopped different than Tech N9ne in the Midwest, and they chopped different than Memphis.
Yeah,
you know. But just listening to all that was kind of my influence. Psychodrama. You know what I'm saying? Like I listen to a lot of Psychodrama too. So, you know, that's what kind of created my style. And plus, with being from the South, man, I just put the Southern twang on.
Yeah. But you're right. I want to go back to that. You made a great point. You're right about that. I never understood why 3-6 Mafia wanted to beef with Bone or Do or Die and Bone and Twister, because all of them were different. You know, Busy didn't sound nothing like Lord Infamous. And, you know what I'm saying? Twister didn't sound nothing like, you know what I'm saying, Skinny Pimp or whoever.
Right.
You know, same thing with, you know, there's cats down in Texas, you know, where a lot of times people say that it's slower, but some of them rap fast down there too.
Right, Zero.
Criminal Element, you know, Zero, yep, he's one. Criminal Element, they used to, you know, do a little fast rapping. But, yeah, man, definitely, man. That's my favorite style. Don't get me wrong. I like all styles of rap, but I always like the fast stuff because I think it takes a lot more to put together a rhyme like that than it would a regular rhyme.
It does, because these rappers sit out here, man, that rap to the beat, they write 16 bars. Us that rap to the hi-hats, we write 32 bars each verse. You know what I'm saying? So we write a little bit more than what a to-the-beat rapper might rap, because we rap so fast, so we have to do 30. It's 32 bars for each verse. If you're going to twist from bar 1 to bar 16, it's 32 for us.
Yeah. Double time flow. What about the guys that do the triple time, man, or even better than that? Do you ever mess with that?
I haven't, man. And look, I had tried it, and I was like, man, I just can't, I can't grab it, man. Those, that damn Tech N9ne, Twisted Insane, you know, King Iso, them cats got that shit down pat. C-Mob, I hear C-Mob doing it every once in a while, you know. But, yeah, that shit is dope.
C-Mob. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Them guys are all, super, super talented. Well, let's give them a dose, man. I got three dope tracks here. Man, which one do you want to go with? We got Throw It Up, Walk Away, and Lonely Road. Which one do you want to go with first?
Let's start with Lonely Road, because that was kind of like my comeback song, because everybody was asking where I was at. You know, I told people, because, you know, I got my own little my little podcast, so everybody was asking, like, damn, man, we ain't heard from you. We ain't heard you on the station, you know, talk about the surgery and all that stuff, man. So we can jump into Lonely Road, man.
Lonely Road, right here on the Murder Master Music Show, OG Tech. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Let's get it.
What you think I am, huh? What you think I am, fucking worm like you? I told you, man. I told you. Don't fuck with me. I told you. Nah, but you wouldn't listen. Why, you stupid fuck. Look at you now.
Had a lot of ups and downs in life. A lot of ups and downs, man. You know what I'm talking about? You never know what somebody going through behind they four walls. True shit. Nigga, back down, nigga. OG.
I've been gone for a minute, now I'm back in it. I never leave again, got the bullshit. People ask you what happened. I thought you quit rapping. The radio just stopped and it was like you up and vanished. The last year was tragic, if you only knew. The up and down roller coaster that life put me through. I had a couple surgeries, I thought I was gonna die. I made a myth with my Lord and Savior. I thought it was my time, and I'm thankful that I made it. My body gotta heal. It could destroy you mentally if your mind ain't built. But I'm built like a soldier, rifle on my shoulder. Been in hell and back and never lost my composure. Sipping on the ceiling, trying to take away the pain. I drink until I pass, I didn't have to do the same. I poured it out of liquor last year from the dead. I hear my knees and pray at night before I go to bed. I lost a lot of homies, hell, I ain't had many. My circle kind of small, and it's a blessing if you're in it. I ride behind, seeing it, conversating with me. Myself and I only trust them three. When they come to TSC, damn right, on the movement. One team, one mission, man, we mobbing on some new shit, nigga. Say we mobbing on some new shit, nigga.
You know I'm riding down this lonely road.
Chains in my last album drop. TSC's the label. I'm a building on my team now. Living out my dream now. Cause I'm on a mission. I'm a unified that's underground. I did like it or not. Team full of go getters. I'm a threat. I'm a vet in the game. And I got no time for lame. All I'm trying to do is take my team to the top. To the number one spot. Maybe count some change. And stop is never the option. I think it's my time to shine. It's time for the truth to be spoken. Cause I'm sick of you fake rappers lying. Had to sip it. And I'm out of the game for a minute. Like a lieutenant, got the networking with different labels and artists. One team, one mission, one started. We call a big boy business. Ain't much change since the G been missing. Now a nigga back with a team full of henchmen. Cover grass low when the stakes still hitting. Shoot him in the head, put an end to the nonsense, nigga.
You know.
I don't want that shit to end, man. That's hard as hell right there. And that's on the Before the Weight project?
Yeah, Before the Weight, man. Produced by Tony C featuring Smoke Corleone. Yeah, good comeback record, man. It was just something that I needed to get off my chest, you know, because I felt like, one, like everybody kind of was forgetting about me, you know, because I ain't dropped an album for a minute. So it was just something that I need to come back and let people know, like, hey, I'm still here. Shit.
Man, that's a real, real hard track, man. And, you know, if the whole album is like that, man, it's going to be a classic, I'm telling you. How would you describe the album for the people that haven't heard it?
When I started this, man, it was, one, I was getting my feet wet because I was recovering from, you know, the surgery. And it was like, damn, I need to drop something. Because my last album that I dropped was Dangerous Minds. And I started putting songs together that I had started writing in 2019. The way I would describe it, man, it's a lot of pain in it, because of the stuff that I was going through. Not only that, just with that and seeing the things that goes on in the media, you know, as far as the, you know, Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. I did a little song for that, but I think mine was a little different than what everybody else was doing. But it was just one of those things, man. It was a comeback album. It's called Before the Wait, Brainstorming. And the reason for brainstorming is because I was really trying to grab all this and make it work. And I had probably about a good 20 songs, and narrowed it down to 11. I didn't want to make it too long because it was a comeback album. It's gonna be a 3-part collection. So we got Before the Wait, we're gonna have During the Wait, and then we're gonna have The Wait Is Over. So this is just the intro to that, to get to The Wait Is Over, which The Wait Is Over is going to probably have about 15 or 20 songs.
Wow. So you coming right back again. You giving it
to
them again.
Yeah. So the During the Wait is probably going, I'm going to probably have that in y'all hands probably like end of January. And then The Wait Is Over, we're going to have that to y'all like probably around spring, because it's a few features I'm trying to have on that. I want that to be real special.
Yeah. You've worked with a lot of people already. You know,
mm-hmm.
Who are some of the people that you aspire to work with that you've wanted to for a while?
That I've worked with?
No, people that you've wanted to, just, opportunity never came about or just never crossed paths yet. Like, who would you like to work with, Evan?
Pastor Troy. I've always wanted to do a song with Troy. Zero is definitely on my bucket list. Yuck Mouth is on my bucket list. We got Yuck Mouth, and this is gonna be kind of like way left field, and y'all probably wouldn't even think of this, but you know, I really want to do a song with Pusha T. The dude is fucking phenomenal. He got a crazy wordplay. You know, I really want to work with Pusha T. Anybody else that's down south, man? Because I've worked with a lot of other artists. Maybe like Lil Flip, I already worked with Mr. Ski. I don't know. And I like Gangsta Black. Yeah, I like Gangsta Black too. You know,
he's one of the guys. He had that flow, man. It just kind of, it didn't matter, man, who else was on the track with him. He could go with anybody. It just, didn't matter what kind of. And he didn't even have to rap fast.
At all. Because he didn't. He did every once in a while, but he didn't. He kept it slow and to the point. You know, and it was just that voice, that raspy voice, and he was just giving it to you, you know.
Yeah, Down With SPV, man, that track never gets old. That's like a Deadly Versus. It's just so hard, you know. Man, that era, and you came up in that era, man. You were formerly, you were known as Little Tech. Well, what made you change your name? Just the growth in life?
The growth. You know, my little pups, man, they was like, hey, big homie. They call me big homie. They always call me OG. And it's like, man, you can't go on Little Tech no more, man. You OG. You big homie. So a lot of other rappers, man, started calling me OG. They were just, hey, OG. You know, so Smoke Corleone one day put it on Facebook somewhere, man. He's like, nah, we ain't calling you Lil Tech no more. You OG Tech. So, you know, it kind of stuck, and it made sense. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we go OG Tech, formerly known as Lil Tech, because a lot of people still go out and look for Lil Tech. So we want to make sure that they know, you know, who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but you've been putting the music out for a while. What was the first project you put out, man? Was it I mean, did you do anything before the Homicide Lifestyle? Or?
I mean, we was doing like little demos back then, you know.
Yeah.
I was in a group called 781 Boys, and we did some music. Then before that, we had a group called like Insane Players. But yeah, we, you know, little CDs in the hood, little tapes. Well, tapes back then, tapes in the hood, you know. And
yeah,
then,
yeah,
like the early
Memphis stuff.
Yeah, you know. It was fun, little shit like that. But then after that, after the Gangsta Pack, you know, I had signed with Big Game Records. And that's when I kind of, like, linked up with, like, Rare Boss and Mr. LPD,
yeah.
Stuff like that. And you know, I met the dude that ran the label because I was calling Power Records trying to get my goddamn money. You know, and one day he picked the phone up. He's like, this little check? I was like, yeah. He's like, hey, I think I got some beats. That might fit you. I was like, all right, that's cool. I really wasn't trying to hear that shit, but I need a beat. I was like, okay, cool, man, just take my number. But hey, man, what Leroy ass at? I need my money. that's you know, but back then that's what we was doing. We was on the four track. You know, we'll record with the four track, man, and we'll send it off. You know, get it kind of rough mixed and then send it off and get like a bunch of tapes and just go around the hood and sell them and put them in those spots like that. Yeah.
Good old days, man. That's a.
Yeah.
Era is unfuckwittable when it comes to hip hop, man. I mean, that just, you know, it's. That's why it's very important that we tell people that cats like yourself are still dropping dope music today. Spice One's
right.
Still dropping dope music. You know, MC8, Public Enemy, for crying out loud. They just dropped a fucking monster album. They got a track with Run DMC and, you know, two remaining Beastie Boys on it. So you got Public Enemy, Beastie Boys, and Run DMC on a song. Never been done before. So really, you know, this year has been pretty good for hip-hop, man.
I got to check that one.
Yeah. Public Enemy, man. You know, what you're going to do when the grid goes down. That's the name of that album, man. You know, I love these guys because they, I mean, you know, the grid goes down. We know what's going to happen. Mad Max and the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
But I love Public Enemy because they've always just straight from the hip, man. You know, told it how it was, as real as it is, you know.
Yeah.
Even when Flav was clowning, he's still spitting some real shit somewhere in there. You know?
Yeah, that was a hell of a combination, man. You had serious Chuck D, and then you had Flavor Flav. You know what I'm saying? But it meshed just right. You know what I'm saying? But when you're looking at the video, you're like, man, what the fuck? You got these dudes marching around. You know what I'm saying? And then you got
serious,
Flavor Flav with the colors.
Militant
and the
dudes. And then this guy with a big clock waving his head. You know, it's almost like, but it worked. You know what I'm saying?
It did.
They're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so yeah, them guys, you know, something else. But yeah, 2020 has been great for hip hop. But you were just talking about Red Boss. I reviewed one of his albums, the one where he had like a license plate on the cover. I forget the name of it.
Back in the day,
but the homie Shin from France, he's on the line right now. I'm gonna patch him in. I think he's got a question about him. Shin, how you doing, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, OG Tech. Yeah,
what's going on, man?
Yeah, I'm fine. I got a question about your album, Shut Them Down, back in the day in 2002. As a song, Another Day, you got also Sister Christine Style on it. Can you tell us about this one and also this album?
You talking about Red Boss album?
No, this one he said the song
Shut
Another Day on your album Shut Them Down.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Can
you tell us about
the
this?
Same album? Are they the same? I couldn't hear his question.
He just wants you to tell him about the album. Like you got a tongue twist and style on it and the cover. Mm-hmm. He said the cover was amazing.
Yeah.
What was just break down that album, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the cover, man, to me, well, when I was coming up with the concept of the cover, it was because of everything that was going on in 2020, for one. You know, the police brutality, I can't think of what else all was behind me, but it was just everything that was around my thoughts. And that's what kind of came with brainstorming. So when you see the brainstorming at the bottom of the album, that's what that is behind me, is everything that's going to go into this piece of work that I had dropped. You know, as far as the album, we got a lot of great artists on it, a lot of great production. And it took a little bit to put together, but you know, the artists that's on there, man, I'm very honored to have them because they backed me up. They said, "Hey, Tech, it's your time. You need to drop this album," and we was able to get it out in a timely fashion. It was supposed to came out in September, but due to other albums that came before my album, it kind of pushed me back. You know, I wanted to give it to y'all in September, but we had to wait until October. But it's a great album. Have you heard it yet? You heard the whole thing?
I heard.
Yes, sir,
I heard. You hear it, Tim?
Yeah, because it's dope bullshit. Yeah.
So you like it? I appreciate it. Yeah, I got another
yes,
one coming in probably like 2 months. So it'll be part two, and then part three gonna drop. Man, I'm nonstop now, y'all. It will never be another gap of music like it was, like a 5 year gap. It's gonna be now consistent. Every month or every other month, I'm going to either, if it's not a single, it's going to be an album, you know, so you're going to hear more of me. I'm about to flood 2021.
Yeah, and Shut 'Em Down was reviewed also in Murder Dog. It was a dope stuff, underground shit back in the day.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
Did I review that one, Tim?
I don't know, but I do remember.
I'm not sure. But you have the cover of underground albums. I say it was a yeah or something.
I'm
yeah,
sure
I
got
I
your
remember,
albums,
man,
because you know, Black Dog was sending me CDs all the time. Like I said, I got that Red Boss album. What was that question you had about Red Boss, then?
Yeah, it was about LPD. Was another Memphis underground pioneer. Can you tell us about your collaboration with him, Mr. LPD?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still
how
working
did you
together.
Up with LPD?
I hooked up with LPD when I was on that record label, Big Game Records, when we dropped Shut 'Em Down. I used to travel to Atlanta, and one time when I came down there, man, he was in the studio, and he was in there making the beat. And I was like, man, make a song, man, because I want to do a song about on some pimping shit. And he sat there and made the beat right then, and we dropped it right then, and that's the She Don't Understand. And we've done maybe like two other songs. He was supposed to get on this album, but I didn't feel like the song that I had that I wanted him on was going to fit this. So I'm going to get him on The Wait Is Over. So we still work together. We still do a lot of music. A lot of talking and a lot of business together. So, yeah, he's definitely going to be on my next project.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
okay, right. Also, you mentioned Ghetto Mafia, MC Shady, the old stuff, like Tito G too. Did you listen also to the old stuff like Red Money or Success and Effect or Tag Team, you know, Did You Love, all this old school stuff with 89 yeah, at the time?
So you had, yeah, I listened to Tag Team. I thought it was pretty cool, but I did like Red Man and Method Man. I'm going to be honest with you, at that time, though, I was in a zone of just, like, kind of strictly listening to a lot of South artists. But, you know, it took a while for me to kind of gravitate. So it was, like, certain songs from up north that was kind of grabbing me. But I did like Method Man. I like some of Red Man shit. I've always been a diehard, I can't say diehard, but I like Jay-Z, even when he was with Original Flavor, you know, and a lot of people don't know about that, but yeah.
When he was Just O, when he
yeah, you remember that? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's 90.
Yeah.
That's 90, yes. Yeah, he was nobody.
So, yeah,
going way back.
Yeah. So, you know, it was different genres, man, but it was just my main music was like South and a lot of Midwest, you know, that I listened to, so.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah.
Definitely. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to another song. Before we do, though, you got any more, Sin, before we go?
Oh, just I did a select of some underground mix on HL old school stuff on UGS.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sin's our DJ. He does a mix show called Sinister Sounds. And yes. you put one of OG Tech songs in there? Which one?
Oh, I put HL underground, like DJ Smurf, Rain the Dream, This Time, Tag Team, Gandhi Fresh, all that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All stuff, old school.
1989. Yes, sir, yes, sir.
And where can I check that at?
Man, you can check it out UGSforLife.com, or they got it on Apple Podcasts. I'll send you a link too.
Yeah, send me that shit, man. I gotta hear that.
And are you friends with OG Tech on Facebook? If so, shoot him a link, or if not, I got it, no problem. It's a dope mix, though. You know what I'm saying? He did one for New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? And real, real, real good stuff, man. They love your stuff overseas, man. They really love American hip-hop, underground hip-hop overseas. You know, there's a huge market over there. Have you ever been over there or thought about maybe going over there doing shows and stuff?
I've never done shows over there, but I know when I had first got signed with Rock Solid, it was like so many producers from Germany and Russia was hitting me up trying to throw me beat, and it was nonstop, and the love was just crazy. And I'm like, damn. It was like, yeah, we remember you from Creep with a Nigga and all this other stuff, and we want to produce and send us music and all this other stuff, man. I would love to go over there and do a show when this – you know, when this pandemic calmed down a little bit, man. I think that'll be real dope to get over there, man, and bring all those people together, the fans and the support, you know. And not only me, if we can get, like, you know, maybe three or four of the dope artists to go over.
Yeah.
Just kind of go, you know, city to city, you know, and then just dip out, man. I think that'll be dope. Kind of hang out with the fans, you know, and all that good stuff. I think that'll be good for hip-hop too, man, for the underground.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's a huge, huge market over there. Some of these CDs,
yes,
these underground CDs, I've seen them sell for upwards of $1,000 or more. And
yeah,
it's usually Germany or Japan or France, you know.
Yeah, yes, my homeboy, I don't know what album it was, but he sold one for, I think he said, $1,200, $1,300.
Wow.
It was a classic, you know. And I got a whole bunch of the Shut Them Down album, still in wrapper, that I'm just sitting on. You know, and then I'm going to start putting those up. I had a box full of
those are probably collector's items for now. Because what year did that album come out?
Shit, man. Like, I guess the pack came out in 97. I think that might have been like 2000, somewhere around there. Somewhere around 2000.
2002.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, around that.
The encyclopedia over there. The motherfucker got it all.
But look, now check this out, man. Now, when I had did the and this right here, man, this is a piss me off story. So when I had did the Gangsta Pat song, the label had sent me like this big old box, man. I'm talking about big box. I had like 300 flyers. I had probably like 100 Homicidal Lifestyle CDs, like 50 tapes. I had they sent me like MC Breed, Hard Boys, Ghetto Mafia, and all that stuff in the box. And I got with this management company, right? And these dudes right here, man, they ran off with my box, bro.
Let's go find them.
Do you know
who the fuck are they?
Hey, man, if I remember who they was, man, don't you know? They sitting on a fucking gold.
A gold mine, man. Yeah,
gold mine, bro.
I used to get box like Dog Day Records. You remember in the Bay Area, they put out like 11-5 and Dark Room and all them guys. They used to send me boxes of tapes and CDs and Murder Dog. They would have a semi-truck drop off boxes of magazines. Some of those magazines sell upwards of $300 a piece now. It's like, fuck, if I had only kept that shit. But I would give them away and sell them and distribute them, try to get Murder Dog name out in my area. So, you know, I mean, I just did. I never thought they'd be collector's items. No way.
Yeah, me either. And you know, like, when I moved up here to NC, I had went to the mall. And I was looking for CDs, and I ran across the Gangsta Pair Homicidal Lifestyle. I had already knew what it was going for. So I picked it up. I only paid, like, what, $12 for it. I was like, shit, man, I got it. I ain't opening this motherfucker. I'm holding on for it, you know, holding on to it. So, man, one day, man, I had it in the seat and wasn't even paying attention. Somebody jumped in the car and sat on it, bro. And when they sat on it, the way they sat in the car, it crushed the case and cracked the CD. And I was so hurt that day, man. I wanted to whoop that dude ass, man. I'm talking about, bro, you don't know what, because I can't find it nowhere else. You know, I could never find it. When I finally found it, this motherfucker sat on the damn disc, bro, and cracked it, man. I can't win for losing. Somebody steal my box. Somebody sit on my disc.
Man, when I got hip to the game about that stuff, I went to this record shop and I saw a Player G album, Pimp Shit, which is a Memphis classic. And, right by the price tag, it had a little green dot on there, like a marker. And I get to the counter. I was like, what does this mean? And the lady's like, oh, that means we got one more in the back. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm already going to get $200 for this one. I was like, could you go get that? I'm going to get it for my cousin. You know, my cousin's going to love this over there. You know, and but, yeah, once I found out about that stuff, I mean, it was by accident, of course. Man, now I'm looking for this shit everywhere if I see it. If I go to a flea market, you know, that stuff's
I got Red Boss records still to this day. I got some Memphis CDs that I haven't even opened, man, like some Al Capone, DJ Squeaky from back in the day. Money Butt Naked.
Sitting on the toilet. I remember that one, man.
Yeah. You know, he was sitting on the toilet on the cover.
Shitting on the world, man, I think it was
called. But I got a lot of those CDs, man, you know, that I just held on to. And like I said, I got probably like 15, maybe 10 shut them down. You know, maybe like 3 of them got like a little crack on the case, just from travel. But other than that, man, you know, I've held on to them, you know, because the guy that put them out, man, you know, from my understanding, he still got a few of those, man. But every time I hit him, I used to hit him all the time, like, man, let me buy some, but he wouldn't want to come off of them because he already knows.
Yeah, absolutely. Once they find out about him,
and you have you were on Big Game Records at a time or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big Game Records, man. That was
about this album.
Yeah. Yeah, we still got them. We got chopping up with LDP and Red Boss at some point too. LPD.
Hey,
now,
you know, Red Boss is the vice president of my label now.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so we working together, like, we've been secretly trying to gang on put this stuff together for y'all that we got. We got a 5 single that's probably going to come out in 2 weeks. His album is dropping in January. He got MJG on it. I ain't going to put too much out there, but he got some good stuff coming on. I know he got Skinny Pimp coming on it, you know. But, yeah.
We'll
work together, man. That's my right-hand man. I could definitely, if you want me to set that up, I'll set it up.
yeah, we'll definitely make that happen, man. We'll air that shortly before or after his album drops, you know?
Yeah.
Did
you reserve tape?
Yeah, back in the day. He was definitely part of that M-Town leg, that M-Town music back then also.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's give him another track. We got a couple more. We're gonna go with Walk Away. What, break this one down for us?
Walk Away. if you listen to my verse, man, it was just one of those things, you know, you go through so much and you know, people run up on you like, hey, man, look, leave it alone. I got a lot of shit that I'm going on right now. I ain't got time for the nonsense. You know, because if you push that button, man, I'm liable to snap. And we all kind of told our stories that way. I was fortunate to get C-Ray from Brain Sick on it and my homeboy On Point on it. And that song is doing the most numbers right now. Yeah, that's my brother, man.
Yeah, not my real brother, Michigan, but very talented artist too.
Yeah.
And then who was the other artist you said?
C-Ray.
Oh yeah, C-Ray from Brain Sick.
Yeah.
He's very talented too. Jesus. So this one here, talented. Man, you guys are gonna love this. We'll be right back with OG Tech. Don't go nowhere. Murder Master Music Show. how can you not say that that's not full of substance? That's not as real as it gets. Walk Away by OG Tech, featuring C-Ray. And who was the third guy? On Point.
On Point.
Pontiac, Michigan.
Yeah, big salute to On Point, man.
How did you meet On Point?
When I was on Rock Solid, man, they had reached out to me. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, man. Me and him had just kind of clicked. I met him and Down Pat. And we've been, like, doing music together ever since, you know. And it was On Point. And it's kind of crazy. I was, after my second surgery, On Point hit me. He was like, hey, man, I got a song I need you on. I was like, all right, cool. But I was like, man, you know I'm still in the healing process. Like, man, I was down bad. Like, and it had Fiend on it, and I Snap Mode Click and him. And he sent it to me, and you know, weeks was going by because I was trying to make sure that my body was right before I tried to jump on the mic. And he hit me. He's like, man, I need the track back. So I just got up, and I did it, you know, and – that right there was kind of like more fuel behind me, like, okay, I need to get back up and start rapping. So a lot of songs that I was working on, man, I was still, like, down pretty bad, you know. So I want to give On Point and Down Pat a big salute. But On Point was the guy that kind of, like, cranked me back up, you know, to get me back into music and on the go, because I was really going to sit it down for at least about until, like, July or August before I even thought about jumping back on the mic, because I wanted to make sure I was 100%. But once he did that, I was like, fuck it, man. We might as well just keep going.
Yeah. Well, that's and then, you know, the good thing is, you know, he's got a project out. You know, you got stuff out. Everybody in your circle has got music out. You know what I'm saying?
And we're we're on everybody's shit, too, you know.
Yeah. And that's the way to do it, man. That's the, you know, it's all about networking. You know, you got to be able to, you know, do that. And you're able to do that now. You got a podcast, man. Tell everybody about your podcast so they can check it out as well.
24/7 Hip Hop Radio, but the name of the show is The Independent Music Movement. It was something that I came up with some years back. You know, it was a lot of local artists and independent artists that I knew that just wanted to be heard on a platform. You know, they couldn't get it into the radio stations and none of that. So I said, man, let me try to come up with a radio station or a podcast or something to put together and, you know, play everybody's shit. And that's what I did. And it has been a great show ever since. You know, I've had like Yuck Mouth, Young Bleed, Blood Raw, Gold Rush, Reginelli of Gambino Family. We just had Sheena Thrash. I was just on it yesterday. I got interviewed by one of my homeboys. So it's something geared towards the, you know, the underground. And it's just giving everybody that shot, you know. We'll bring some people. Like, I'll go to the email and just pull somebody music. Because, you know, I promote it everywhere. And, you know, I'll play the song. If the song hot, we'll play it. If not, then I'll be like, all right, we can't even go further with this. But I still get a chance. You know what I'm saying? But that's all people really want. You know, they just want to hear themselves through the speaker. You know, so that was like it was a door that I was opening for the independent artists in the underground.
Podcast, you know what I'm saying? What made you really want to get into that? I love doing it because you get to hear people's stories, like we got to hear your story tonight. But you also, like I said, you get to, you know, make different connections with people.
Right.
What was your main motivation?
All of the above. Because I wasn't really doing the the well known rappers, man. I was just interviewing my circle. You know what I'm saying? I'll bring them on. You know, like I had Lil Pete. You know, On Point and Down Pat, when they came out with a song, I brought them on for, I think it was like their first interview. Well, I don't know about Down Pat, but I brought them on. and just giving people that shot, you know. And then when I started getting into the well-named artists, it was just like you said, like hearing their story, you know what I'm saying? Because they're no different than us. You know, it's just they did it, and they were so consistent with it that they started making profit out of it, you know. But everybody got a story, and just to hear it, you know, a lot of people really don't know what they went through to get there. You know, you might come aboard and go to YouTube type of name, man, and be like, man, this motherfucker jamming. But when you get them on that station and you start asking questions because you done did your homework and they, you know, you bring certain stories out, like you brought up me getting shot. You know, you start bringing that stuff out. It's like shit that fans don't know about, you know. So, and that's the stuff that I like to hear. So, yeah, I thought that was pretty dope.
Yeah, to be able to, you know what I'm saying, like I said, hear all those different stories and stuff. What were some of the interviews that you did that stood out that you really, you know, look back and like, man, I really liked it?
I think I had maybe the one that really stands out the most is me interviewing Gunplay. Gunplay wild as fuck, you know what I'm saying? But it's him. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I wanted them to be. But hearing Gunplay's story was real deep. I mean, we see this story of Gunplay and as this wild guy, don't give a fuck, and you see it on the Real Housewives of Atlanta, or you seen them back when they had the 50 Cent and Rick Ross beef and all this other stuff. And, you know, but I sat down and had a chance to talk with him, and he intelligent as fuck, bro. You know, that interview was probably one of the ones that stood out the most was him. Yeah. And Blood Raw, that was with Jeezy label. Blood Raw stood out too, because he's a very smart brother also.
Yeah, definitely. Blood Raw, he came out at a time, you know, him and Jeezy came out at a time when rap was changing drastically. You know, I was sitting back, I was watching it, you know, but I never thought it would get to the point of like dumbing down and mumbling and trying to silence the conscious rappers. You know, like there used to be like lanes in hip hop. Like if you wanted to hear some shit that was dumb, you'd go get some PM Dunn or some crap like that. You know what I'm saying? If you wanted bass, you went to the bass section. You know, now it's like they push that trendy pop bullshit and they don't showcase, you know what I'm saying, the talented artists. I wonder why talent's taking a back seat. It's crazy.
Well, I don't think it's taking a back seat. It's just the way the labels have things structured. You know what I'm saying? I think back then, man, when you had those conscious rappers, man, those conscious rappers was getting to people that was out here that was picking up on it. You know what I'm saying? And I think they really didn't want that to kind of hit the neighborhoods. Like, okay, they dropping some real jewels that they don't need to know. So we need to silence them. Like Pac. Pac was giving you... He was giving you rap shit, but he was talking about that Black Panther shit that we need to stand up. You know what I'm saying? Like that. He was dropping jewels. So what better way is to dumb down the system is you kill the Arrested Developments and the Public Enemies and stuff like that. And you give them this dumb shit because now when you put that out there, okay, these kids ain't going to learn nothing. All they learning how to do is goddamn be drug addicts and drunks and all this other shit, and that's what we could feed them. You know what I'm saying? And the game from then to now, man, is just totally, totally different. You know, back then, everybody had medallions on. You know, they was rocking the dashikis, and, you know, KRS was bringing that damn knowledge too. But it's crazy how these labels is they killed that, and I think when they killed that, you know, and I'm not gonna say it killed hip hop, but it killed the era of hip hop that was so real that now what you have now is these I don't even know what to call it, man. It's, I mean, I go to YouTube. These people have a million of views, man, and I listen to the song, and I can't hardly understand them. They're not talking about shit. And I'm not going to say all of them. You know, R.I.P. Mo 3. Mo 3 was a very talented artist. You know, Lil Boosie give you the real. He's a talented artist. But it's stuff that they have thrown out here now, man, that I just feel it doesn't do anything. There's no message behind it, or there's if you're gonna talk about, I don't know, man. It's just not all of it's not authentic to me. You know, these rappers is, you got more killing in hip hop now than we did in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I've seen that. Just had a fatal shooting the other day. I can't think of the rapper's name because, you know, I'm not into a lot of the newer rappers, but
yeah,
that's
what I was talking about.
Fairly
yeah,
good.
Mo 3. Yeah, Mo 3. 3 was fucking. He was awesome, bro. Now I don't know about King Von that just died like 5 days ago. He got gunned down in Atlanta. He was another young rapper, but I know of Mo 3 because I played his music. And when I tell you that the guy was fucking. He was on his way, bro. He was on his way. And Boosie signed him and stamped him, you know, and he was doing his damn thing, man. He was 27 years old. 27
yeah.
years old, man. And
just starting out his life, man, his adulthood.
Starting out his life. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a father.
Damn shame.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he was a father, but I know he was somebody's child.
Yeah.
You know, that type shit. You know, so it's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is. It really is, man. But I'll tell you what, it's been a hell of a show tonight, man. Real honor to talk to you finally and get to hear, you know, some of your story. But before we get out of here, I got one more song I want to play. Before I do that, I want to give you the floor, man. Let them know where they can get your music, where they can check out the podcast. It's all yours, brother.
All right, man. It's OG Tech. You can find me on Instagram at OG Tech the Don. You can find me on Facebook. Just look up OG Tech, formerly known as Lil Tech. Look up Chris OG Tech Bay. I'll be pulled up. My album is on all platforms minus iTunes. We're going to try to fix that. You can get me on Spotify, Amazon, and all the other stuff. Big salute to the show. Big salute to everybody that's rocking with me, everybody that's keeping it 1,000. Yeah, man. One team, one mission. That's the biggest thing right there. We one team, one mission, man. So big salute, and I'm out, bro.
Man, I really appreciate you. And we definitely look forward to having you on again in the future, man. This one here, as we get out of here, man, kind of outro us with this song, Throw It Up, man. Tell everybody about this one.
Throw It Up is a song that, it's that crunk song. Me on my verse, it's kind of like me. I wanted to shout out these different spots. But I wanted everybody to know, man, where my background came from. You know, I love the South, and I represent the South. Big salute to Chuck T. Big salute to all the Southern rappers. We got Sheena Thrash on it, and we got Red Boss on it. And it was just everybody just repping their section, where they from, you know. And we just shouted out everywhere. So if we forgot where you – if we forgot your city, you know, blame our minds, not our hearts. We got love for you there, too. So this is it. Throw It Up, man. OG Tech, Before the Wait. Go pick it up.
South, but nigga push lax and grills in his mouth. Say on the hat, stay for AUG. USTA, nigga, that me. And rep North Check, that's where I stay. Still wreck the state where it's no more play. I'm down south slinging with the homie Chuck T. Slinging no South Cat, gotta ride with me. UGK, we riding dirty, super tight. Pocket full of stones, the real Mr. Bill was on coming out hard. MJG and the legend A-Ball. Mr. Ice Cream Man with Master P. Body, body, lock the street. Get on my feel straight from the deck. Creep with a nigga Lil Tech. I'm dropping.
dropping them deadly verses with Gangsta Pat. Lock them in the trunk with DJ Zerk. Can it be with Gangsta Black? Yeah. They said we was slow and we started start running the game. Once the playlist, the Cadillac funky music had dropped, I knew we was winning then. Tearing the club up with triple six. Ghetto boys, my mind is playing tricks. To all of the rappers that's off in the game, I gotta let the South know that. Yeah, I've got my everything. ATA, Louisville, Wiley, Georgia, Cali, Paul, Savannah, Georgia, Columbus, Georgia.
And not represent it. I'm ready to catch it like this a minute. No back and forth, this ain't tennis. Fuck the game, this the last inning. Neutralize you and the witness. Disturb the peace with my hustle game. I'm an outcast, like a two-chain. Weather track like a hurricane. City of Atlanta running through my veins. Y'all niggas today, so I had to refrain. Rewrap the work with the silver fame. Hard chill, Jackson with the cocaine. Throwing cover, Jackson at the blue flame. Y'all niggas done in the game.
In the game, tuck in your chain. Memphis 10 up in this thing. Fuck with us, man. Keep it 100, you know what's up. Like I'm sick in the stomach, I throw it up. For my set, for my section, my city, we let it get busy. Oh yeah, bro, we going up. Going up, going up. All the way up in this thing. I'm deep with my guys, they keeping it fire. You don't wanna feel the flame. I'm throwing it up like a jump ball. You from the wrong side, we will trump y'all. Like JG Wentworth, all it's gonna take. One call.
Houston Tech, throw it up.